On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Back over there, are you, my friend?
Yep, I'm back in America.
Back in America, back in Tinseltown, are you?
Yes.
Did you have a nice holiday home?
I did, thank you. It was very nice being in New Zealand. It was nice to see you.
Nice to see you
Sarah
too.
And the gang. Yep.
But you're back into the hard slog of the wonderful world of movies over there, the wonderful world of television over there. What's caught your eye today, my friend?
Well, there's two awesome movies coming out at the movies today in New Zealand, or last night rather. The Shape of Water, directed by Guillermo del Toro. Are you familiar with this film, Mike?
I am familiar with the film. Yes, I have. I've seen the film. Yes, I have. I very much enjoyed the film, actually.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah, loved it.
Good. Yeah, Troy McClure would have loved this film. This is about the romance that develops between a fish man and a woman, a human woman.
Yeah, I'm kind of down with that, though. I'm kind of, and you know, it's so. There's a lot of it which is completely improbable, and that's sort of the neat thing about it. I like.
I'm down with it too. I was impressed by how adult this film was. It does not beat around the bush, as it were. It leans into the full-onness of its concept, that totally justifies it. Quite hardcore opening 5 minutes. This is not a kids movie by any stretch, and I was completely on board. Amazing. Supporting cast: Richard Jenkins, Octavia Spencer, Michael Shannon, Michael Stuhlbarg, who's in every single film coming out this year.
And who does he play?
He plays the Russian sleeper agent.
Oh, great! He's great.
Yeah, he's also the dad by Your Name, and he's also the New York Times editor in The Post. So he's literally everywhere. But.
It's pretty good. His time management seems pretty up to speed, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And this is the film that people were kind of hoping would be Guillermo del Toro's return to the kind of slightly arty genre films that he was making early in his career, and it very much appears to be. He won Best Director at the Golden Globes. A lot of talk of Oscar love for this film. After films like Pacific Rim and Crimson Peak, he's kind of gone but back to his more... I mean, his films are all personal, but this one is a bit more intimate in how personal it is.
It comes from his personal bag, you know. It sounds like, yeah. You know, one of his hand-picked personal faves. You know, so it feels like one of those when we watch it.
A story that's he's told a lot about his inspiration for this film is that when he saw The Creature from the Black Lagoon, as a child, he just presumed that the creature and the woman would end up together. He didn't realize that the creature would be portrayed as a figure of horror. And so he's turned that impetus into The Shape of Water. And the colors in this film alone are staggeringly beautiful. And Sally Hawkins and Doug Jones in the lead roles are both very great. Sally Hawkins is a fantastic actress. She once starred in a New Zealand film with Rhys Darby called Lovebirds. That's not a great film, but this is amazing. And I highly recommend The Shape of Water. Also out this week is a film that I saw this on Friday night in America, and I'd had a very long week here. It's been a very busy time. I was stressed out, and I just thought, I want a popcorn movie to defrag my week, and I went and saw Liam Neeson in The Commuter, and oh boy, did it step up for me. I so enjoyed this film. He's made this film several times before, even with the same director, Wame Coletzera, who made Nonstop. It's essentially the same plot as Nonstop, except it's on a train instead of a plane, and Liam Neeson just does what he does. He's got some really interesting little angles in his face now. To me, he's starting to look a bit more like the tree in A Monster Calls than an actual human being, but that's okay because the camera loves him. He He looks like a cartoon, sort of. He's sort of halfway between a Frank Miller drawing and turning into an Irish Kirk Douglas.
Got to be careful, though. These are actors that are halfway to a Frank Miller drawing when the rest of the supporting cast aren't. You know, and that's you don't want to be. You don't want to get too over caricaturized. You know.
No, he's fine, and the supporting cast is fine. It's got some great other scraggly faces in here. Jonathan Banks, who plays Mike Ehrmantraut in Breaking Bad, and Better Call Saul is in this too. He kind of is a great offset for Liam Neeson. He plays like an aging businessman who's forced to do terrible things on a train. I just really, really like this film, and it's also, in my mind, it's kind of a film that Hollywood doesn't make enough of anymore, and that it's a medium-sized genre movie. It's not trying to be all things to all people. It knows what it wants to be, and it does it well. And
do you think it works extra well because of the recent train catastrophe over there? Reminds you that trains aren't, and it's not they're not secure on the track at all times.
No, that I got to admit, that did not occur to me once during watching the film. And now that you've posed it, maybe there is some connection there because the train's railment does come under threat at times. But not connected in any way. This is just a really nice, straight down the middle genre movie. Now, last night, I just want to talk a little bit about something on TV. Did you watch the first episode of the assassination of Gianni Versace, American Crime Story?
No, it's pending for me.
I'm just going to jump in and say that, oh my God, yes, I did.
I'm very much looking forward to it, though, Fabian. I'm on board for that one. Probably more on board than OJ, actually. I mean, I love
the OJ. The first season was about the OJ trial, very awesome. This one,
but the OJ one, started out. I wasn't sure if I was going to go there, but then I watched it and went, "Yeah, no, this is good. This is very good, actually." And then I've got big hopes for the Gianni one.
The OJ one was universally acclaimed across the board. Very, very good. And this one, when they announced the topic, you wouldn't have thought, okay. So the OJ one was sort of all about now with its racial and cultural issues. What does Gianni Versace's murder have to say about now? It turns out quite a lot.
Totally.
And you'll notice this as the series goes forward. I spoke to the cast for this, and so I've managed to see most of it. I've seen the first 7 episodes because I'm a great guy.
How many are there?
And
how many eps?
I believe there's 9 Shit. Episodes. And it goes into Andrew Cunanan and his previous murders. A lot of people don't realize that Gianni Versace's murder was the 5th murder he committed in a spree across several months, and it kind of goes in reverse chronological order. It goes back and explores these other murders, disturbingly intimate at times, very grim, very dark, but very captivating. And Darren Criss from Glee as Andrew Cunanan, absolutely stunning, especially as the series progresses, and it sort of takes on a slight talented Mr. Ripley quality. And that he's this young, articulate man charming his way into high society and then murdering people. This really got under my skin, and I can't recommend it highly enough. Sounds like word is good on this. So that's your homework, Mike. Please watch at least the first ep, and then maybe the second ep, and next Friday morning we can check in on that.
And we can chew it all out. All right, lovely, lovely, lovely. Thank you very much, my friend. Speak to you again then.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great weekend.
It's nice to get homework from someone you can call your friend. You know?
Aww.
And it's like, there's no trouble then. I don't mind doing that homework at all. See you, Fabian. Bye.
Bye.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.